Okay, I don't know if this thing's on or not. I don't see a red light coming on. Are we on? Now? Okay, I guess the battery must be dead. All right, well, you'll hear me. They won't record me too well, but you'll hear me. Well, let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, and we're going to begin in verse 58. If you have your place in the Scriptures and are able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word tonight? Luke 9, 58, and verse 58. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Verse 62, And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the privilege of being in your house tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. Lord, I pray that you would just speak through me tonight. Lord, I pray that each one would be encouraged, challenged. Lord, that we would have the heart, Lord, that as John sung a few moments ago, that we wouldn't turn back.
Yes.
And, you've given us opportunity to go forward for you, to do some things for you. And Lord, I pray that we'd get it in our hearts to go forward and never turn back. God, I just thank you again for saving me. I thank you for calling me to preach. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, to be among Christian friends. Now, Lord, bless tonight, we pray. We need you, Lord. Come meet with us, we ask. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. He said there in that last verse, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I entitled the message tonight, No Turning Back. No Turning Back. As a kid on the farm, my dad taught me some things about plowing. Took me out to the field and showed me how to plow. And a lot of times you'd start in the middle of a field. And he told me, he says, you know, you make sure that you plow a straight line. Because the way you start, that's the way all the furrows following are gonna be. And by the way, year after year, it's the same way. You know, if you go into a field that's never been plowed and you plow it, you're gonna end up with a dead furrow, either one on each side of the field or one in the middle. You're gonna have a gully like. Yeah. And if you start off wrong and you get going crooked, every year you're gonna have to follow that crooked line.
Yep.
And every time you go around the field and you plow another furrow, you got to follow that crooked line. So you want a straight shot right to begin with. You want a nice straight furrow. Now, Dad told me, he says, be careful. Don't look back. You keep looking ahead.
Yeah.
Get your eye on something. Look for a tree or a fence post or something on the other side of the field, and don't take your eye off of that until you get to the other side. Now on the rest of, you know, you just drop that tire down in the furrow and you're good to go, no problem. But that first one, make sure you keep your eye straight ahead, keep that furrow straight, and don't get sidetracked. You see, if you turn around and you look back for just a moment, you'll end up going crooked.
Yeah, right.
And you can say, but Dad, I didn't look. There's the evidence.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's hard to hide it, you know.
Yeah.
So he says, "Don't look back." Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 2. Well, I wrote something down wrong. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Where's that at, preacher? 12:2.
Yep.
There we go. I knew I did something wrong. All right, Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Folks, don't look back. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Don't get sidetracked in life. Hey, it's so easy sometimes to get distracted, want to look this way or want to look that way, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's go to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Oh, you can't look back in life. So easy sometimes to get distracted. You make a mess of things. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, we keep our eyes on the mark. We press toward the mark. We keep our eyes on Jesus. Looking, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to Jesus. Looking to the finish line. Amen. There's a lot of folks today, so many folks today that are turning back from serving the Lord. They started out to serve God. They started out to do right. And they got sidetracked somewhere along the way. And they've turned back. They've turned away from God. Joshua, as an old man, reaffirmed his position in Joshua 24. Verse 15, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're not turning back. Hey, we're not changing our course. We're not changing our plan. We're going to continue on the same way we've always done it. We're going to continue on. We're going to serve God. My house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Tonight, I want you to know that I am not turning back. Hey, I was saved at the age of 12. Oh, about 42 years now, I've been serving the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not trying to tell you that I was perfect or that I'm perfect today, but my goal has not changed. I want to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Young people, you can get a goal in your heart tonight to serve the Lord all your life, all the way through. Oh, it's a tremendous testimony when you hear somebody that's walked away from the Lord and came back, and how God's grace was sufficient, and God took them back, and they became profitable again. But what about the wasted years? What about the time that was wasted? It could have been used for the glory of God. What about the broken hearts? What about the tears that could have been avoided? Had we stayed on track?
Right.
I'm not turning back now. 42 years now I've been serving God since the Lord saved me. And I'm not changing it now. Amen. There's no reason to change what I've been doing all along. Amen. There's no reason to forsake the ways of the Lord. Amen?
Right.
Hey, for me, there's no turning back. There's no turning back from the house of God. There's a lot of ways that folks change. A lot of ways that folks turn back. They start out doing right, and along the way, they get going one way or another. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Folks, we need to stay on track with the church. We need to stay on track with the house of the Lord. In Hebrews 10 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Have you noticed some folks didn't come tonight? Some folks forsake assembling themselves together. But exhorting one another, he said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm terrified what the future holds. I really am. I'm concerned for America. I'm concerned about the direction we're going. I love that preacher, that message you preached the other night. Was it Sunday night, I believe it was. What a powerful message. The direction America is going. If we don't have a national revival, if something major doesn't take place, our country turning back to God, we are headed for destruction, folks.
Right.
We are on the way out. But I'll tell you what, as we approach those days, as we see those days approaching where the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and where it's harder to become a Christian, and the possibility of persecution exists, there could come a day when your pastor and I and Pastor David and others that stand to proclaim this book will be locked up for their beliefs.
Right.
For their beliefs. And that there could come a day. What will you do? Somebody here, one of you men, need to pick up the Bible and come to the pulpit and finish the message.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
You see, it's going to be hard. And when it gets fire, the Bible tells us we're going to need the house of God.
Yes.
Even more than we ever thought.
Absolutely.
So much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, don't turn back from the house of the Lord. Many folks have turned back from attending church.
Right.
They've got jobs getting in the way.
Yep. Yeah.
I know a man's got to eat. I understand that.
Right.
It's a biblical principle. You don't work, you don't eat.
That's right.
I got no problem with that. But Sunday's the Lord's Day.
Amen.
I thank God that there are firemen and policemen and doctors and there are professions that are willing to work on the Lord's Day. I thank God that there's somebody there when you need them. A lot of jobs don't mean to be done on the Lord's Day.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
The Lord's Day. But you see, it starts out with just working a little bit on a Sunday. Next thing you know, it's not only working on the Lord's Day, but now it's missing church. It's just Sunday night.
Right. Yep.
Oh, I had to work real late. I didn't get off work till 4 in the morning, so I couldn't come to Sunday school.
Yep,
that's where it's at.
I know calendars change through the years, but the calendar that we're on today, the Lord's Day starts at midnight, right? And it runs till midnight, right? I mean, that's just me. I just share personal testimony. Years ago, I was working in a grocery store, stocking shelves at night, and the boss came to me, and we started at midnight, worked till I think 6 in the morning, something like that, every night. And he says, "We've got to change. Trucks are coming in earlier. We're going to start at 10:00." Well, you got to draw the line somewhere. I got convictions. I've had convictions since I was a teenager that I don't work on the Lord's Day. And I told the boss, I says, "Ty, we got a problem. 10:00 still the Lord's Day. I don't work on Sunday."
Right.
I said, "I'd be willing to come in at midnight, but I can't work on the Lord's Day." That's my personal conviction. That's not your conviction.
Right.
It's between you and the Lord. Okay, this was me.
Amen.
And I says, I just can't work on Sunday. I said, "I could come in at midnight." He said, "That's all right. You can come in at midnight. Everybody else start at 10. I start at midnight." No problem. You work with me. You know, hey, the employer appreciates if you have some convictions. The average employee today, they don't have any convictions about anything.
Right.
Hey, if they don't have, you know, if I have convictions for the Lord, then more than likely I'm going to have convictions against stealing from the boss
and things like that
too, you see? I'm going to make a better employee if I have convictions that I'm willing to stand up for. You see, most employers will honor that. You know, if you're consistent, I can't work that because I got this I want to do. Or, you know, I'm consistent. I think I could work that Sunday because, you know, I really need a little extra money. I'll be sure to tide on it.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about, hey, I'm not turning back from the Lord's house. A lot of times jobs get in the way. A lot of times it's sports that get in the way.
Right. Yeah.
A ball game on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Sports get in the way.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Vacations. My heart breaks for a dear family.
Yeah.
That I remember used to serve the Lord. I mean, they loved the Lord. They had a trailer out at a campground. Too far to come to church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thousands of Christians got into that. Yep.
Today, if you visited that family, you'd never guess they were Christians.
Right.
That's how far they went.
Yep. Yes, sir.
They started out forsaking the assembly
right.
In the house of God.
Right.
That's where it starts. You see, the devil's looking to pull you out and get you away. He's looking to get you away from the things that you know to be right. You see, I'm not turning back from the house of God. I'm not turning back from the Lord's house. I see an importance here. Hey, my Lord tells me that he died for the church.
Yes.
He gave himself for it.
Wow.
It ought to mean something to me. Amen?
Yes.
For me, there's no turning back from our fundamental Baptist heritage.
Amen.
I mean,
amen.
I'm not turning back. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
Sir.
Jesus Christ built his church. He built a Baptist church.
Yes,
and I'm not giving in on that.
Amen.
I'm standing firm on our fundamental Baptist heritage.
Amen.
Hey, Baptists have always stood on the Word of God.
Yes.
Right.
Historically, Baptists have stood on the Word of God. The Word of God is our sole authority for faith and practice.
Yes.
Amen? And when you say the Word of God, today we know that to be the King James Bible.
Amen.
It wasn't always, we didn't have a King James Bible in forever. I mean, we've only had about 400 years.
Right.
But Baptists have always stood for the pure Word of God.
Amen.
Today it's here in our King James Bible.
Right.
You see, I'm not giving up on that. I'm not giving up on that. By the way, some have kept the right book, but have turned back from reading it.
You're right.
Yep. Right.
You got the book. You've got a King James Bible. I mean, it says KJV on the end.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the words of God. You've got a copy. You wouldn't part with it.
Right.
But it doesn't do you any good. You don't read it.
That's right.
Oh, let's not turn back. Let's not turn back from the Word of God. I'm telling you tonight, I'm not turning back from our fundamental Baptist heritage. I'm not turning back from the Word of God.
Amen.
Baptists not only have always stood for the Word of God, but Baptists insist on a state membership.
Yes.
Baptists insist that if you're going to join our church, you're going to be saved first.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to be baptized.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be baptized in a Baptist church. You're going to be baptized in a Baptist baptism.
Right.
That means immersion in water by the proper authority.
That is
I was baptized in the community church. Well, good for you. But you need to be baptized after you're saved in a Baptist church.
Yep. Amen.
You see, I was sprinkled as a baby. Well, wonderful. You know, I got baptized a lot when I was a baby. My mom told me all about it. You know, but hey, baptism isn't baptism unless you're saved first.
Yes.
And it isn't baptism unless it's done by the right authority. And Jesus gave his church the authority, and the others don't have it. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be harsh.
Right.
But he gave the authority to Baptist churches.
That's right.
Nobody else has authority to baptize.
Gave it to his church. That's right.
Baptists have stood for that.
Yes, sir.
Fundamental Baptists insist on music that glorifies God.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Hey, there's a lot of music going on in churches today that doesn't glorify our Lord.
That's right.
The sad part about it is they're doing it all in the name of praise to the Savior. How can you praise him with something he doesn't like?
You're right.
Yep.
Right.
I'm not giving in.
Amen.
I'm not giving in. I've come too far to turn back on that. Hey, I know folks. I know a lot of folks that at one time held the same convictions that you and I hold on music. And they could back them up with Scripture.
Yeah.
Yep.
Same convictions. But Brother Bill, they've turned. They've turned back today.
Yes. Yes.
And some of them just to keep a crowd, to keep the ones that want the contemporary music, and to keep the ones that want the old hymns, they've gone to two services now.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm all for two services. Would to God we built this place up and have to have two services.
Amen.
I think that'd be tremendous. Amen. Yeah. But what I've been going to be contemporary.
Amen. Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
Hey, we're going to stick by the music
Amen.
That Baptists have historically stood with.
Amen.
We're going to stand with the music that glorifies God. We're not turning back.
Amen.
We're not changing on that.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Fundamental Baptists are separated from the world.
Yes.
Yep.
Go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1.
Good preaching.
1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 16. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Go to chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Yeah.
Hey, there ought to be a difference. If we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, we ought to look like we're children of the light, not children of the darkness.
Yep.
I mean, we ought to be separated from the world. We ought to come out from them. We ought to come out from among them and be separate.
Yes.
I mean, the Bible calls us peculiar people.
Right.
And nothing peculiar about the average, quote, Christian today. Nothing peculiar at all. They fit right in.
Yeah.
They fit right in with the world.
Yep.
You can't tell there's any difference.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, many times I don't think there is a difference.
You're right.
They've never been saved.
You're right. That's where
they've never been saved. Hey, if I'm not willing to try to serve my Lord, if I'm not willing to try to separate from worldliness, separate from sin, separate from the things that dishonor my Lord, if I'm not willing to separate from those, I would wonder, am I really a Christian?
Amen. Yes.
Fundamental Baptists are separated from the world. Hey, we're separated in our language, the way we talk.
Yep.
The jokes we tell.
Yeah, right.
The jokes we listen to.
Yeah, there you go.
The way we communicate on our computers.
Yep.
The things we say, the people we run with, our language.
Yep.
Our activities. We're separated in the type of things we get involved in. I mean, that includes our recreation.
That's right.
Something Christians shouldn't do.
That's right.
By the way, the world knows Christians shouldn't do that.
Yep. Right.
Fundamental Baptists are separated in the way we dress. Men dress like men, ladies dress like ladies.
Yeah.
I mean, we're separated in the way we dress. We want to honor our lives, our life, everything about us. From the clothes we put on to the places we go, everything about us ought to point to one thing. He's a peculiar, she's a peculiar person. They must be a Christian.
Yes, yes.
You can't tell the difference in the average Christian today. You can't tell it.
Right.
I mean, even you come to the house of God on Sunday mornings, and the average quote Christian, and I'm talking from the pastors all the way down. That's an average. I'm not talking about Bethel. The average quote Christian church member today, you can't tell them from the world.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the preachers in the pulpits.
Right.
That is, if they still have a pulpit.
Right.
A lot of times they throw the pulpit out, and they got a little bistro table. They sit and have a little talk with the people.
Wow.
In their flip-flops, shorts, and a necklace around the neck.
Yeah. That's what they do.
And they call them preachers.
Yeah.
Well, remember the term, have you ever heard the term, our Sunday best?
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with putting on your Sunday best for the Lord?
Amen.
What's wrong? I'm not trying to say if you don't have a suit and a tie, you don't have a fancy dress, you're not welcoming God. That's not what I'm saying.
No. Right.
But I'm saying our Lord deserves the best we can give.
Yes. Yes.
He deserves our best, folks. I'm talking about historic Baptist standards, historic Baptist beliefs. We've stood for some things.
Right.
But so many today are backing up on these things. So many today are turning around. They're giving in. 1 John 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Right.
We got a lot of supposed Christians today that won't give up the world because they love the world too much.
Yes.
They won't give up that stuff.
Right.
I'm not giving up my music. I'm not dressed the way I want to dress. Well, I'll read whatever Bible I want to read. Bless God, nobody's going to tell me what to do and how to live my life.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but my Bible says there's not a lot of evidence that you're even saved.
Amen.
Now, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. But if you're not saved and you die, you're going to hell.
Yes.
You say, I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
And I don't go to heaven because I don't smoke, I don't drink, and I don't run with the girls to do it all. You know, that's not how I get to heaven. I don't get to heaven from living a good life. I'm not trying to tell anybody that you can be good enough to go to heaven. That's farthest thing from the truth that could possibly be.
Right.
But what I'm trying to say tonight is folks that love God want to please God.
Yes.
More than they want to please themselves.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm saying I'm not turning back. I'm not giving up on the things that I've stood for. I'm not giving up on the Word of God. I'm not giving up on the principles of God's Word.
Yeah.
Hey, for me, there's no turning back from soul winning and missions.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Mark 16, verse 15. Let's go ahead and turn to it. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Notice what he said? All the world, every creature. Hey, for me, there's no turning back in soul winning and missions. You see, we can't turn back. The job's not finished yet.
Right, right.
Every creature hasn't heard.
That's right.
The whole world hasn't been reached.
Amen.
We're not done.
That's right.
Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. By the way, the Holy Ghost has come upon us. No excuse. Can't say, well, I don't have the power. No. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and the uttermost part of the world.
Yep.
We haven't been to the uttermost part of the world. We're not done.
Right.
We're not done. We can't scale back on warning the lost.
Yes.
Hey, folks, we can't scale back on handing out gospel tracts. We can't back up on running our buses. Amen. We can't back up on reaching our senior saints. Praise God for the ABL Club. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know how many countless numbers of seniors have been saved through the ABL Club and through our seniors' ministries. Thank God for that. Amen. Amen. We can't go back on that. We can't go back on winning the lost. We can't go back on Sunday school. We can't turn back on our vacation Bible school.
Right.
We've got to go forward to reach the lost. We've got to go forward in faith promise missions. We can't turn back on our giving to missions. We can't go back on that thing.
Amen.
I mean, we don't want our missionaries turning back either, do we?
Amen.
Hey, we send a missionary back.
Right.
We want to see those letters come. We want to see those letters come every month or every quarter, however often they send them. We want those letters coming. We want to say, hey, they're still working on the field.
Amen.
They're still preaching the gospel. They haven't changed any. They're still there. They're still doing the work.
Yeah.
Oh, if they've been in there 4 years, okay, it's time to come home for a few months. Time to come home for a year. But then you better get back. Get back to the field. You got work to do.
Amen.
We don't want our missionaries turning back.
Right.
Folks, they depend on us.
That's right.
A lot of missionaries are turning back today.
Yeah.
Because the churches have turned
right.
back.
Right, the lifeline.
On their faith promise missions.
You're right. That's it.
It hadn't been long we had our missions conference. I hope you're not going back. I hope you had to turn back.
Amen.
On the promises you made to the Lord.
Yep.
Hope you haven't turned back on your faith promise given. No, folks, we can't turn back. We can't go back. We've come too far. For me, those are no turning back in my love for Christ. Go with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2 and verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. How sad. You used to love me more than you love me today, the Lord's saying. You used to really love me. You say you love me, but you do not the things I say. You still say you love me, but your actions don't show. You've left your first love. Go to 2 Kings 11. Solomon, great man. Verse 9, 2 Kings 11, and verse 9. What did I do? Get the wrong verse here again, too? Well, anyway. Solomon did a lot for the Lord, but Solomon backed up on his love for God. He let his wives turn him from loving the Lord.
Yeah.
What's that you got?
First Kings.
Okay. Good. First Kings 11. Thank you, Brother Bob. First Kings 11 and verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon. because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice.
Yeah.
His heart was turned. Turned back from God. There was a time that Solomon had a pure heart for God. There was a time that Solomon loved the Lord immensely. But he got distracted.
Yep, yep. Yes.
He knew better. He knew better. I don't know what would distract you. It was a bunch of wives distracted him. Should have known better.
Right.
By the way, if you're going to get married, you find somebody that will help you serve the Lord.
Amen.
Not pull you away from
the
Lord.
Right.
The wives that he picked out were wives that didn't love the Lord.
Right.
Wives that had other gods.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll go to church. I want to go to my church. You go to your church, I'll go to my church. That's the kind of wives he chose.
Yeah.
If you're going to choose a wife, you choose somebody that loves the Lord.
Yes.
And she won't distract you. She'll help keep you on track, serving
yes.
the Lord.
Yes, yep, yes.
And you ladies, by the same token, you find a husband that wants to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And then you work with him and you help him accomplish that goal. Solomon, the great King Solomon. I mean, folks, I'm telling you tonight, be careful. Be careful. I mean, Solomon, what a great man. I mean, he built the temple for the Lord. He penned some 3,000 Proverbs. He was the wisest man that ever lived. And folks, if Solomon could turn back in his love for God, certainly we're capable of that, are we not?
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, I would never turn back on my love for the Lord. I'm gonna love the Lord. I can't believe the Lord said that those folks that left their first love. I can't believe anybody'd ever do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall.
Yep, yep. Right.
Folks, we're capable.
That's it.
We're capable of turning back in any of these areas.
Amen.
Right.
Unless we have some resolve, unless we work carefully, relentlessly, and pray and ask the Lord's help and stay at it. You don't know where you'll be tomorrow. You don't know where you'll be a year from now. Oh, my heart breaks for the folks that used to be in the house of God and aren't anymore. Used to serve God and don't anymore. Used to preach the gospel and don't anymore.
Yes.
Used to sing the songs of Zion and they don't anymore. Used to be faithful and they aren't anymore. Used to love God. And now they despise him, and so it would seem.
Yeah.
Oh, so sad. So sad. Praise God. There was no turning back on the part of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Yes.
There was no turning back on his part. You or I will fail him from time to time. You or I may be tempted to turn back from time to time. And we may give in. And thank the Lord, he'll always take us back.
Yes.
I'd rather stay on course.
Amen.
But if you stray, looking back on your life, you might say, you know what, Brother Black, I have strayed. I have left my first love. I have left the fundamentals of the faith. Yes, I have. I have let down on my soul winning. I have let down on my missions. God will take you back, and he'll make something of what you have left if you'll give it to him. But our Lord has never turned his back on us. Never once has he turned back. Never once has he turned, has he changed. Never once has he wavered. Christ never wavered. Not once did he ever turn back. Isaiah 50 and verse 7 tells us that Christ set his face like a flint. He was determined not to turn back. He set his face like a flint. Nothing's going to distract me. Nothing's going to turn me. I'm going all the way to the cross.
Yeah.
And he went all the way to the cross. And praise God, in a few days we're going to celebrate his resurrection.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
He made it all the way and didn't waver one time.
Yep.
He did it for you and I.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, the love that he has for us. Oh, my. Oh. Oh, don't turn back. Don't turn back. Back to Hebrews again. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, don't turn back tonight. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep my eyes on Christ.
Yes.
Folks, before I was saved, I was on my way to hell. I don't know where I'd be today if I hadn't trusted Christ as my Savior. I have no idea where I'd be. I owe him so much. Well, Brother Black, you're a preacher. You like to do that. You want to do that, right? I do today, but didn't always. I wanted to farm. I enjoyed the smell of that dirt turning over. There's some things I didn't enjoy the smell of. I enjoyed the farm. I wanted to farm. I wanted to farm the rest of my life. The Lord had other plans for me. But I've not regretted it one minute.
Amen.
I've not regretted it. He's done so much for me. He's done so much for me. And I'm sure you could all say the same thing. He's done so much for me. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 says, "The love of Christ constraineth us." How could I not stay on course for him? How could I not give my life to Christ? How could I not be faithful to the house of God? How could I not be faithful to the church that Jesus Christ started? How could I not be faithful to be separated and be looked at as a peculiar person by the world? How could I not be holy, or at least attempt to be holy, because he is holy? How could I not, for all he's done for me? Hey, there's no turning back for me tonight. What about you? You might just need to resolve tonight. You might need to come to this altar and say, "Lord, I've wavered a few times. But tonight, I want to let it known. Lord, I'm not. I'm not. I am not turning back.
Amen.
From this point on, I'm going to serve you. When I leave this place, I'm getting a pocket full of tracts. I'm going to hand them out. I'm going to start giving to missions. I'm going to get back to giving to missions. I'm not turning back.
Amen.
I'm going to start living for the Lord. I'm going to start dressing for the Lord. I'm going to start living right."
Yes. Amen.
I just want to love you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to get back to the first love. The first love that started this whole thing.
Yes.
I want to get back. And stand with heads bowed. Father in heaven, oh Lord, it's so hard for us. We're human. And Lord, we have that sin nature. Oh, I know that when we're saved, we become a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. The old, all things are become new. God, even the Apostle Paul fought the flesh. Lord, there are times that we have it in our heart that we're going to do right. We turn around, fall flat on our face. Lord God, I pray that we would have the resolve to say, "I'm not turning back. Oh, Satan may get me distracted, but I'm getting back on course as soon as the Lord taps me on the shoulder." Lord, I thank you for conscience. I thank you for giving us a conscience. Lord, we don't have to get away from you for long before we realize that we've sinned against you. Lord, give us the desire to make it right. Thank you for being there for us, willing to accept us back into your loving arms. Oh, God, that's why we serve you. The love of Christ constraineth us. Pastor.
If you'd like to come, you come right now. That's right. You just come right now. Step out of your seat. What a great message. What a great challenge. What a great truth. Don't turn back. Don't turn back. Last Saturday, we had that spaghetti dinner. And as Evangelist Rod Black preached tonight about not turning back, one of the men that came to our spaghetti dinner. By the way, I was glad that they came, he and his wife. They used to be faithful members here years and years ago. Bible college student. Man, he took that Romans class, and I taught him about the rational sinner, the reformed sinner, and the religious sinner. And man, he went to work every day. He'd go up and tell people, you're a rational sinner. You're a reformed sinner. Man, he got excited. He was winning people to Christ. I thought, wow. I almost thought for a minute God was going to call him to preach. He was excited about serving God. And just like you preached, stop going Sunday night, stop going Wednesday night, then stop going. I can't say 100% because I didn't ask him, I didn't try to embarrass him. And he's still a good man, by the way. And I believe he's a saved man, but he's not serving God like he should. He turned back. I'm always hoping when we have those dinners, some of those people, God might just even prick their heart, Brother Mike, in the love of Christ at those big dinners that we do and stuff, that'll just say, I need to get back. I need to get back. I was wrong. I need to get back. I left where I was. I need to get back. I know one thing, and I preach the same. I believe our days are numbered, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to live for God until he comes. Either he calls me home or he comes. I'm going to tell you, we should be even energized more because Jesus said, night cometh when no man can work. We got to do more for the bus routes, more for Sunday school, more for Abundant Life Club, more for the jail ministry. You just name any ministry. I'm not going to name every ministry. More for Hattie Larm. More for every, more. More for the Christian school. That was a good message, man. Got me pumped up. I swear you're getting better and better all the time, buddy. It's a big Sunday. I hope you'll at least ask somebody. I hope somebody at work, maybe your neighbor, maybe a family member. You'd be surprised. On resurrection, they call it Easter Sunday, but it's really Resurrection Sunday. But they can call what they want. I just want to come here about Jesus. Don't get hung up on the terminology of it. How many are blessed by it? Say amen. Good message. Evangelist Black, would you go and greet the people, you and Debbie, as they leave here and...